standing at the station and I'm waiting on my train to come. Well, I'm standing at the station and I'm waiting on my train to come. I can't stand around all day, you know I gotta run.
Hello, I'm Todd DeFeo, publisher and editor of railfandom.org. Recently, I gave a presentation titled Death on the Rails. It was an interesting look at railroad calamities across the years. It's the kind of topic one could talk about for hours. I had 45 minutes. I've decided to take a recording of this presentation and turn it into a multi-part podcast. While I've talked about rail calamities as part of presentations about specific railroads, it was a unique challenge to weave together a narrative that wasn't limited by railroad or geography. I hope you enjoy this presentation.
Well, come all you round as if you want to hear the story of a brave engineer. Casey Jones was the rounder's name, and on the Illinois Central, where he gained his fame.
Everybody knows Casey Jones. He may be the most famous engineer in railroad history. And while Jones was, in fact, a real railroad figure, his story is as much lore as it is fact. The Illinois Central Railroad engineer gained notoriety for his actions on the morning of April 30th, 1900. He was at the throttle of engine number 382. Jones and his firemen, Simeon, Sim, Taylor Webb, departed Memphis's Poplar Street Station around 12:50 a.m. They were running train number one, the Cannonball Express, from Memphis to Canton, Mississippi. Jones was filling in for an engineer that day, Sam Tate. He was out sick, and their train departed roughly 65 to 95 minutes late. Jones was working to make up time, highballing toward Canton. They were just minutes behind schedule when they approached Vaughan, Mississippi, shortly before 4 a.m. The train was speeding down the line, but how fast is open to some level of debate. Three trains were at the station, including a freight train with a broken air hose that was stopped on the tracks ahead. Casey Jones ordered Webb to jump to safety. Jones remained in the cab, attempting to bring the train to a halt. Anyone who's familiar with the story knows that Casey Jones died that day, the only fatality in this wreck. In many ways, Casey Jones was the typical railroader. John Luther Casey Jones was born on March 14, 1863, in Missouri. His family moved to Kentucky in 1876, a small little hamlet called Casey, and in doing so, he picked up a name for all of eternity. He entered railroading in 1878 when he was just 15 years old. He went to work for the Mobile and Ohio Railroad, starting as a telegraph operator and working his way up to flagman and fireman. The railroad eventually transferred him to Jackson, Tennessee, and there he met his future wife, Janie Brady. 2 weeks after the couple married on November 25, 1886, he went to work for the Illinois Central Railroad. He was promoted engineer in February of 1891, setting in motion a chain of events that would land him in the history books. Jones was the only person killed in that day in that wreck in Vaughan, Mississippi. Yet of all the railroad wrecks throughout history, he's a well-remembered railroad man. However, his wreck wasn't the deadliest in history. It wasn't even particularly notable, considering the frequency with which rail mishaps took place. While Jones failed in averting a collision, history remembers that he died a hero. His efforts, as the lore goes, saved the lives of the passengers on the train. Didn't stop the railroad, however, from blaming him for the wreck. And his actions made him a folk hero, even in an era of far more serious rail calamities. It begs a simple question: why is Casey Jones famous? I'm glad you asked. We have several people to thank for that. First and foremost, his fireman, Sim Webb. He survived the jump from the locomotive. And over the years, he would tell his story, and he would share the legend of Casey Jones, keeping the memory alive for future generations. Additionally, Wallace Saunders, a friend of Jones who worked as an engine wiper, found another vehicle for sharing the story. He took a song named Jimmy Jones, and he wrote some new words. That story, about a brave engineer, told the story of Casey Jones. Railroad men up and down the line learned the ditty, and they took it with them wherever they went. The ballad of Casey Jones grew in popularity, but unfortunately for Saunders, he didn't make money from it, having sold the rights to the song. In the ensuing decades, newspapers ran accounts of the wreck, contributing to the growth of Casey Jones as a folk hero. And on April 30th, 1956, his former home opened as a museum. While the building was subsequently moved, it still affords rail buffs the opportunity to walk in the footsteps of the famous engineer. Whether true or part of the lore, Jones is remembered as a punctual engineer who would always get her there on the advertised. He was also noted for a unique way of whistling, a whippoorwill whistle, as it's remembered. After all, and the people knew by the whistle's moan that the man at the throttle was Casey Jones. Anyone familiar with the song probably knows that line. Our topic today is death on the rails. And I struggled as I started writing my remarks. What do you say? Why death on the rails? And I thought back to a famous wreck I discovered when I was writing a book on the Memphis, Clarksville, and Louisville Railroad. It was a largely forgotten wreck that took place in the years after the Civil War. While it was an international story at the time, the disaster at Bud's Creek in Montgomery County, Tennessee, is a relatively minor affair in the history of railroads. But that's precisely the point. There are so many wrecks, mishaps, calamities throughout history, we don't even remember them all. There are just too many of them to recall. But every wreck throughout history shaped the world we inhabit today. People's lives were changed forever. Families were forever altered. While rail travel improved mobility and opened new markets, it could be at times incredibly dangerous. But train wrecks didn't play favorites. They targeted passengers, workers, innocent bystanders, young and old. Newspapers loved to report on deaths. Much like the media of today, they would pick up news of railroad wrecks from far and wide, pass it on with little concern for its accuracy. Then, as now, bad news is good for business. But as I learned through all my research, not all railroad mishaps are equal. Perhaps the most fascinating element on the study is the number of ways people could meet their death on the rails. So where do you begin? After all, people love the macabre. There's something about death that draws people. It really is a great topic, but again, it goes back to that question, where do you begin? Maybe we should go back to the beginning. Go back to a gentleman named William Huskisson. He has the dubious distinction of being the first railroad fatality, or at least the first widely recognized railroad fatality, when he died on September 15, 1830. He was struck and killed by a new locomotive at the time built by a man named George Stephenson, the locomotive named the Rocket. He was among the dignitaries attending the opening of the Liverpool and Manchester Railway. It's a day that should have been a celebratory event. Born in 1770, Huskisson has a stellar political resume that includes a stint in the British Parliament. Yet despite his many career accomplishments, today we know him as the world's first rail fatality. On that day in 1830, his doctors had told him not to attend, but he viewed this event as far too important to miss. So despite some medical maladies that he had, he attended. And during the festivities, he was riding in a car that was pulled by the locomotive Northumbrian. At one point, the train came to a stop. The railroad told everybody to stay in their cars. So of course, what did everybody do? They got out, Huskisson among them. He wanted to get out and chat with a gentleman, the Duke of Wellington. And everything was fine until another locomotive, the Rocket, driven by Joseph Locke, appeared on the parallel track. Everyone tried to get out of the way, and everybody got out of the way, except for one man. Huskisson could not escape from harm's way, and his left leg was crushed under the locomotive. Fatally wounded, he was loaded onto a rail car and taken to a nearby town where he died. A monument still stands in this location to mark his death and his legacy. But had the events of that day turned out differently, Huskisson would be remembered for his political career. Instead, he's written into the history books, remembered for his dubious railroad connection as the first ever railroad fatality. Then I started thinking, maybe we should bring it all back home. Talk about the best friend of Charleston, the first locomotive to suffer a boiler explosion. This locomotive belonged to the South Carolina Canal and Railroad. Work began on the railroad on January 14, 1830, 2 years after the Baltimore and Ohio Railroad. On December 24, 1830, the railroad demonstrated the best friend of Charleston. It's a locomotive that was designed and built at the West Point Foundry in New York City. It was the first steam locomotive in regular service in the United States, and it could reach speeds of 20 miles an hour. That's as fast as I-285 on a Friday. Or when it's raining. However, it all ended on June 17, 1831, when it exploded, killing the fireman of the locomotive. It was later revealed that escaping steam was annoying the fireman, so he decided he would tie shut the locomotive's exhaust valve. The explosion raised concerns about the safety of railroad. Might sound like a familiar topic. After all, it's one we still debate today. So if we're honest and we think about it, Deaths on the rails have happened since day one. It would be impossible to compile a comprehensive list of every fatal wreck that has taken place on railroads in the United States, much less the entire world. Thousands of wrecks have claimed thousands of lives. Sadly, many of the people who died in these wrecks, they remain unknown today. The problem with listing every fatal wreck chronologically is after about 3 hours, we'd probably still be in the 1830s. So instead of going year by year, I had this idea. What if we put everything into different buckets, all the different ways that death might befall someone on the rails? And when you boil it down, many rarer deaths can be blamed on a few causes. Sometimes they happened in tandem. Sometimes they happened as a result of human error. Now, some of these ways are obvious. Derailments. They've been quite common throughout history, but even all derailments aren't the same. You have spectacular derailments that have no injuries and no deaths, and you have other derailments that cause many injuries and many deaths. Infrastructure failures. As anyone who worked on an early railroad could probably attest, the railroad was only as good as the infrastructure itself, and it wasn't uncommon for that infrastructure to fail. Bridges collapsed, lines washed away. Sometimes the weather or other acts of God were to blame. Other times, vandals or miscreants sabotaged lines, leading to calamities. Weather. Weather has caused problems for humanity since the start. Even as we've become more technologically advanced, weather still causes problems. Just think about all the flight delays and cancellations that happen every time weather comes to Atlanta or another major market. Collisions, right? Despite all this technology that we have in railroads, all the technology that's required to build and operate trains, trains still collided with one another. In the early days, sometimes crews didn't even know if the tracks ahead of them were clear. So collisions, head-on or otherwise, were not uncommon. Trains might strike someone. They've been striking and killing people since the beginning, as Huskisson illustrated. Unfortunately, we still see it happen today. And an incident might warrant a mention in the local newspaper, which might talk about the victim. Sometimes it would give incredibly graphic details about what happened. But there's so many other ways, too, we could get at. Falling from cars. Rail work was incredibly dangerous, and workers would often fall from cars in the course of their duties. Passengers sometimes would fall from the cars as well, sometimes as a result of the workers themselves. Robberies, right? When we think of robberies and bandits, we think of Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid robbing a train, blowing up a safe, riding off into the hills of Wyoming. But robberies happened all across the country, pretty much anywhere there were rail lines. And sometimes those robberies would turn violent. And boiler explosions. So think about this. If you're on a train, you avoided a collision, you stayed on the tracks, you didn't encounter Butch Cassidy or another bandit, the bridge didn't fail, you didn't hit anybody along the way, you still had to hope that your locomotive's boiler didn't explode.
I hope you enjoyed this presentation. Please check back for more from my talk on Death on the Rails. For railfanning.org, I'm Todd DeFeo. Be sure to visit railfanning.org for more news, features, and photos from the rails.